Oh man. Yes. Hello. Good day. Good evening. Good time. Sorry we've been away, but hey, I've been on the move, right? I've been on the move and I've been doing some things and my immune system is slightly under attack, but we're going to conquer and power through. You know, that's the thing about working from home. You know what I'm saying? Once you get out in the world every day, then you're susceptible to all the nastiness that occurs. But we will not be stopped. Saudi Mania 5 has officially wrapped. And we got a lot of things to say. We got a lot of things to say. So without further ado, man, let's get into talking about wrestling like nobody else in the world. Let's get in tune to the first Black Champ podcast because I'm still the pick. It's just me and Gunther now. Cam from the port.
And yo, I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. The FBC is where you can follow us on everything. You can click the link in the bio. You could go ahead and get the merch. And hey, man, Saudi Mania is over with.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Looking at the clock, seeing what time it is, and it's time to let y'all know that we was right. This was about the cleanest win in the long and rich history of Roman Reigns' latest title reign, about 4 years old. At first, we used to talk about how the cleanest win was Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this win versus LA Knight was, it had a little bit of dirt on there because, you know, we saw James sound clip, James Uso.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But pretty much, this was a clean-ass win for Roman Reigns.
Yes.
You know, definitely a lot cleaner than what we've seen, man. What was your thoughts on LA Knight taking so clean of a loss against Roman Reigns?
So, I've always wanted to see clean wins and losses from Roman Reigns. It appears that this is the cleanest that we're going to get. But to get on LA Knight real quick, pause if necessary. I was really happy with his entire character and story for this. It put me in the mind of two things. Well, not really one thing, really. And it's how we both grew up. Even though you grew up in Chicago, I grew up in Freeport. We both grew up in Northern Illinois, in the Northern Illinois area. And what I loved about LA Knight's story is because it's every, like, hood classic story, right? It's always somebody that is super tough in your neighborhood that nobody seemingly want to mess with, and then they'll cower, so people will cower down. You just see people get punked out, get bullied, and he's just doing whatever he do. But then, like, the new kid that don't nobody know move, and he at y'all school now. And he don't know nothing about none of that. So, he ain't scared of Johnny. Who the fuck is Johnny? I'll fight Johnny. I don't care. I'm from Seattle. I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I came from Baltimore. I don't care who Johnny is here. And Johnny obviously don't like that. and then you have the ultimate showdown. And what happens with the showdown is that, yo, shoot, you know, Mark said he wasn't scared. Shit, he got out there. Hey, he was throwing. Hey, he rocked Johnny real quick, but Johnny got him, though. You know what I'm saying? It's Johnny. But, hey, yo, but Mark wasn't playing with him, though. That's how I feel this story went. But I also want to say that Roman Reigns has had some perfect matches until Jimmy and Solo show up. And I'm tired of that happening. I'm tired of his matches seamlessly. And I'm not even the five-star match dude like that. But the performances that Roman Reigns has given from WrestleMania 2022, I'm sorry, because he wasn't that 22, till now, like, those matches have been virtually flawless to the point where the interference moments don't make sense. Like, they don't help or hurt. So I'm tired of seeing that. I think that if we really, not that I've seen every Bruno Sammartino, every Bob Backlund match, but I've definitely seen all the Hulk Hogan matches. Hulk Hogan was just like, yo, no, it's me. I'm winning tonight, but don't worry. Your check is 10,000 instead of 1,100 tonight because I won.
So to piggyback off of that, let's like just going to LA Knight. Look, we knew what was going to happen.
Man. For
we
sure.
Knew LA Knight was not going to win the championship. But did LA Knight do a job well enough to keep him in that spot?
Yes, absolutely. He absolutely did. And thank you for asking that question, because I wanted to really segue into this statement. I would have much rather a Jeff Hardy Undertaker situation for LA Knight versus what we got. What we got? No, wait, okay. So, and let me explain that real quick before I say what we got. Jeff Hardy versus Undertaker, those matches, those segments, those moments, that bought Jeff Hardy another 15 years despite totally abusing and disregarding the wellness policy. They bought him another 15 years regardless of that. That's how great that was for him. And the thing is, Jeff Hardy was already Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was already Jeff Hardy. He had the match of the year. He was in one of the best tag teams ever. He had had the main event moments. He did his thing as one of the Hardy Boys. But after the respect angle with The Undertaker, it was like, oh, wow, we really can't get rid of this kid. He's got something, and Taker sees it. So if Taker F with him, we F with him. So let him do his thing now. And whether he had the title or not, which he did, but whether he had the title or not, Jeff Hardy became a mainstay on either roster and within the company, whether they were domestic or international, promo, like Jeff Hardy was a name that was always pushed in the forefront. Again, because we like to go to it. If it was the WCW top 10, Jeff Hardy would always be 7. He would never be below 7 after that moment with The Undertaker. What we got, which at the end of the day is very fair. LA Knight was treated like a contender, a top contender that actually beat Roman Reigns, but didn't.
Okay.
Because that's what happened to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns 3 times. He beat him 3 times. But he ain't got the belt. Shit, Drew McIntyre beat him once for sure. Drew McIntyre definitely beat Roman Reigns one time.
He won that clash at the castle.
Yeah.
Drew won there. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the clash you move LA Knight into, which I'm not mad at. You know, it's a clean win, but at the end of the day, people will be like, oh man, but Jimmy Uso or James Soundclick. Like that you can always lean on that being the reason. And that is a good reason for LA Knight to stay in the conversation of the story, but he's already beat James Soundclick. So that's really old news for him. In hindsight, it's still great. I would have just rather them give a better exit to the fastest rising star in SmackDown history, LA Knight.
Yeah, I think LA Knight is going to be okay.
Yeah.
I watched the match, as I'm watching the match, I'm like, okay, we good. I don't think he's going to get thrown to the mid-card like some people might believe in. Even what I said, I was kind of worried about him getting thrown. Because what I'm trying not to do is think like old Vince McMahon WWE.
Because
if this was old Vince McMahon WWE, he would be Cesaro. He's not. All right, this is TKO WWE. That's right. And when you look at Roman Reigns and LA Knight, and you see that LA Knight's pop is rivaling Roman Reigns, you can't just knock that down. I'm not saying he's Daniel Bryan level. What I'm saying is that between that match and the crowd reaction, LA Knight is going to be okay. Yeah. It's now really up to LA Knight to take the ball and run with it, and let's see what direction that it goes into. Will it end up being, you know, he is the Universal Champion in some point of his career? I don't think so, because I think that the story is almost back on board, and Cody Rhodes will be that person.
Yeah.
But once Cody Rhodes take the belt from Roman Reigns, we're not going to see Cody Rhodes go on a 4-year title reign. Like, we know that's not going to happen. So since we know that's not going to happen, then it's basically like, okay, what's next? This is what's going to happen. So everybody better be ready. This is definitely one of those situations where, you know, you stay ready so you don't have to be ready.
Facts. I think, LA Knight is in a really great position, right? Because here's the flip side to that also. Roman Reigns ain't going to be on every SmackDown. And now they know for sure, even though they had like pretty decent knowledge of it leading up to this match, that, you know, you got a new main eventer, title or not. As you were saying, and you made a very great point this year. I think greatest point of any wrestling podcast of the year was you highlighting grudge matches and the need for them. And now we know for a fact that if you put LA Knight in a feud, title or not, is going to mean something to the audience. And that is what you want regardless. Like, your whole show can't be on, oh, dude, the champ, so only the champ is over. It's like, no, everybody is over. But the other reason why I know LA Knight is good, because LA Knight's the ultimate heat check. Look, LA Knight is the ultimate heat check. Because we thought a lot of people were over this year. And we've said a lot of people have been over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of them people, this is the LA Knight bar, and this is where they at officially. And y'all see it now. It's not even close. Like, LA Knight, every market, any show, any PLE, he's going up. Like, internet fodder ain't that real. And he proves it every night, every week. So I think he's in a great spot. I was gonna say amazing, but let's see how the rest of the SmackDowns go to close out the year before I use a word like that.
Yeah, and to your point, and even bring it back to grudge matches, I can't wait to AJ Styles get back.
Yes.
Because now I believe you have somebody legitimate to put up against LA Knight, possibly come WrestleMania time. The next match, the segue to talk about is Logan Paul. Logan Paul is now your new United States Heavyweight Champion in a ha ha ha.
Yeah, hashtag.
Ha 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 ha. Some chicanery. Chicanery, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Logan Paul defeated Rey Mysterio for the United States champion. So now that belt is on the biggest internet social media celebrity in the world.
Yeah.
So
96 the best million, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So think of about 15 Zack Ryders. They got the United States championship right now.
Facts.
Now, the red herring, so to speak, was, you know, my man, the Santos Escobar, you know, Santos Escobar, basically chasing off some white dude that's with Logan Paul.
Right.
But instead of him keeping the brass knucks, he put them down on the mat. Which,
We saw that, huh?
We saw that, ha ha. So, are we going to get what I've been saying for about 2 months now? Santos Escobar beating up Rey Mysterio and returning back to his drug dealer ways.
Man, we absolutely are. And I felt like that button was pressed as soon as that backstage segment with Carlito and Santo was looking like, pendejo, huh? Pendejo, okay? You know what I'm saying? He was just sitting there looking like, dog, I just had a match and you, we couldn't find you. And then, but now you're trying to flip it like, oh, I'm going here by myself. It's like, no. Fam, what happened to LWO? What you mean? I think your son right now. So yeah, definitely looking for it. Sweater was fire, Santos. You dig? You know what I'm saying? But next time we need that three piece with the tie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's coming.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's coming. Santos Escobar will be having lines on tables for people to snort it, like at that NWA joint that you shared on the Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah, pure madness. Went that to chill out. They recorded in Nashville. That's all I can say. That's all I can confirm or deny. We did not see the table in Nashville.
Yeah, man. Hey. Very interesting times, my friend.
Yes.
Very interesting times. But Logan Paul as the United States champion, what are your expectations here?
Man, honestly, the only expectation I have is for, you know, that global aspect, that TKO engine to now really do its thing. And I know that in hindsight, that probably has nothing to do with wrestling. But I think this move is so important for that. You know, before we were coming up with the predictions, I know we didn't do it. I don't think we did an official prediction show because we didn't have all the matches. But again, you make great points. That's why I do the show with you and only you. You made great points about what Logan Paul having the U.S. championship would mean, right? And it wasn't until I saw the promo. Well, not even the promo. Logan Paul did a vignette before the match started. he did a vignette just for the match. And then this is Michael Cole saying 96 million people follow this guy. Social media, blah, blah, blah. And once I seen him holding up the title, holding up his energy drink, while all the pyro was going off, I was like, oh, so this is really like, let's sign another $1 billion contract. and it just happens to be for our United States champion, the guy that is young enough to appeal to that younger kid demo, but also respects the sport of wrestling / sports entertainment, and that knows what it means to really get out here and sell himself as well as a product, as well as a company. So, man, I am not here to put a day rain on his on Logan's run here. Like, I don't know if it's going to be 100 days, 365. I don't know. But having him as the champ to close out the first quarter fiscally, obviously going into the Royal Rumble with it, is got to be a major financial play. And you know what? I just want to make it clear for all of you wrestling purists out there or people that just aren't clear. This ain't David Arquette. This ain't Jay Leno. This ain't, this ain't Hugh Jackman. This ain't none of that. This ain't none of that. Logan Paul get busy. Again, we see he ain't got it. Some people, you can be so great that you can be part-time. He one of them. That's why, what's the brother's names that made the list? Under 30, the top 30 under 30?
Shouts out to Brando.
Yes.
And Mark, I can't pronounce his last name, Diamdi or some shit.
This, honestly, is why if they would have put Logan Paul in the top 3, I wouldn't have been mad. There's something to be said about every time you see me, shit go up. Every time you see me, greatness happens. And that's what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Love or hate him as the character or the person or the hustle, whatever it is. You can't deny the work. And the work is the work. But I'm honestly, my only expectation is just elevation for WWE, the title, and the person holding it. I just see bigger bags. That's all I can say.
Okay. I see this as a win-win for the WWE and the United States Championship. I see Gunther and what he's doing with the IC Championship. And man, he's made that box office.
Yeah.
He made that must-see. When you see Gunther versus whoever on Raw for this Intercontinental Championship belt, the only thing that I be thinking is damn, we need that in a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We needed that, you know, at Saudi Mania. We need that at the Survivor Series. I just think that they defend that too many times on TV that it's becoming the Intercontinental Television Championship. But at the end of the day, as long as Gunther got it,
yeah,
and good. He keep cranking out the matches that he cranking out, I don't give a damn way he defend them joints at. Because it's going to smack. Yeah. That being said, you're not going to see Logan Paul defend it as many times as Gunther.
Right.
But he makes that title important because of who he is. Right. And the amount of eyes that he brings to the table. So that's why it will be interesting to see like a AJ Styles or a LA Knight or even hella Solo, you know, whoever that could be placed alongside Logan Paul in a match, you know, at let's say WrestleMania for this belt. It makes it big time. So, and then whoever defeats Logan Paul, surprisingly enough, their profile gets raised.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do in the next couple of months. Yeah. You know, with Logan Paul being the United States champion, because we know it's not going to be Rey Mysterio taking it back from him, because it looks like he's going to be involved in the feud with Santos Escobar, you know? So
we'll
see what happens from there.
Yeah. Hey, this is one last thought on this. I think this is another angle to the man making the title. You know what I'm saying? Usually that was always proven in the ring, but now it's going to be proven outside of the ring, outside of the company. Because, you know, that was one of Roman Reigns' famous promos. Do you know what it takes to be the champion for real? It's not here. It's not showing up here every week and doing matches. It ain't that. Like, it's the other shit I got to do. So, Logan Paul came in doing the other stuff at a higher level than Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. You know what I'm saying? So, another instance of the person making the title. And listen, until Bobby Lashley turned it to the Dipset Eagle title, we didn't respect the U.S. title out here. You did?
No, so, we didn't.
And now look where we are. What a time.
Yeah, we'll see what happens from there. Let's move on to the SmackDown Women's Championship. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and a surprise. We knew she was re-signed with the WWE. But we was waiting to see when Kairi Sane would come back with the best elbow drop in wrestling. And it was at Saudi Mania. Yeah. And she cost Bianca Belair the SmackDown Women's Championship. But now, though, what's going on? Is this going to be two Asian women power trip? Could we see Bayley and, you know, Damage Control finally breaking up because EO, like, I got my girl. We don't need you. So where does Bayley stand here? Where does Bianca Belair stand? You know, because that's our rematch. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, shout out to Bayley looking like the sexiest disco ball I ever seen in my entire
life. My God, that thing set.
I don't know why, but when Bianca had her on her shoulders, which is something that I would like to cross off of my bucket list, man. My mind started playing "Groove Is in the Heart" by D Light. I don't know the significance of that because it was way more colors. Yes. So, but great song. Y'all should stream it today or buy it. One of the two. I will say that I was calling for the breakup of Damage Control by SummerSlam, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then Michael Cole, of course, because Michael Cole is the greatest of this era to do it. He reminded me that, yo, yeah, it was Bayley that put Kairi Sane on ice.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Super forgot about it. Yeah. So with that said, yes, it's inevitable. I was wondering how they were going to continue to do this Io Sky title run with Bayley being the lead mouthpiece. And now I got my answer. Because eventually, Bayley has to take the title off of Io Sky. And that is my impromptu guarantee. Because I have another one. Based on what I've been seeing the past week on wrestling as I caught up. But my impromptu, my 1B, is Bayley's taking the title off Io Sky. And it's going to be because she cool with Kairi Sane. Like, you're making friends with this idiot when I helped you keep the title. I can't wait for the promo. It's going to be fire. So I see this. It's funny because Io has also made it clear, like, yo, I don't want your help. So it's almost like she listens to the show and is being like, yo, stop helping me. Because Cameron Bay think I ain't shit. I was like, no, but we love you, Io. I promise to God we do. We just see what's going on. So that's what I see happening. I don't think we need a reunion for the Sky Pirates, but at the same time, because Homegirl and Homegirl are kind of entertaining. I ain't gonna lie. I mess with the Piper.
Chelsea Green and
Chelsea Piper. And Piper. Yeah, they're entertaining. So, yeah. I'll just stop right there. Do your thing.
Okay, it's a couple of things, right? It's a couple of things here. First of all, I think you're right on the money as far as, you know, how this title reign has been and how Kairi Sane can help it. When you said what you said about Bayley, I was like, oh, okay, I see that. I can see how that, because what's my girl named? Dakota? Dakota Kai.
Yeah,
you know,
Dakota Kai.
Yeah, Dakota Kai is still out with her ACL injury. So she ain't going to be coming back anytime soon. She's going to be podding with Zelina Vega. You know what I'm saying? That's what she's going to do and be on Twitch. So with that being said, Damage Control is really two people right now and one that hugs them both. So if Kairi Sane and Io Sky is bringing back Sky Pirates, then there you go.
Yeah.
And that's a great match between those two, and we see what happens. But then what happens with Bianca Belair? I've been against this, Camp. I've been against this.
Okay.
I have not been wanting to put people together just because. I've not wanted to do that. But I guess I can in this case. Just go ahead and put Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill in the tag team.
Really? That's what you saw? Whoa.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sorry, that's not what you say, but that's what you're like contemplating.
You might as well, fam, because of two reasons. One, if Bailey's going to be, you know, by you, going off of your thread here, mm-hmm. if Bailey is going to be going up against Io Sky for the SmackDown Women's Championship, mm-hmm. and of course, Bianca's on SmackDown, mm-hmm. I don't want her to be involved with a feud that's less than on the SmackDown roster. Mm-hmm. Might as well go ahead and give her and Jade Cargill the push that Sasha and Naomi wanted with that tat for the title.
Okay.
The flip side of it, too, is you still want Jade Cargill to learn the WWE way.
Right.
What better way of helping her out in front of the camera than going ahead and putting her with Bianca Belair? If you want, later on down the line, whether it's WrestleMania or SummerSlam, you could do your when Mega Powers Collide thing with those two and have them in a match together like a lot of people want to see. But I think a great way of putting Bianca in a position that she's still on top, especially when they have the Hulu show that's coming in February. Shouts out to my man Glenn, our man Glenn, who hit me up on social to ask a little bit about, you know, the couple, you know, and notice that their social media is lit.
Yeah,
we got sure. that coming up. So you want to have Bianca in a prime spot. And it's always good to have people in prime spots with a belt on their shoulder while you're promoting something like a reality show based around her and her husband.
Huh.
It don't have to be a Survivor Series.
Okay.
It could be at the Royal Rumble. But I also don't want Jade Cargill to win a Royal Rumble just because she in it and then be at WrestleMania wrestling for a title.
Facts. I don't want that at all.
All right. But what I would love to see is those two black women fighting the Karen and the Karen's protector and winning the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships and putting it on the pedestal that it deserves, but it's just had bad luck. Again, I would normally be against this. You know me. You've heard me on this show. Yeah. Don't put the black people together just because they black.
Right.
But I believe, bless you, but I believe that this will be a good trial for Jade to really get her feet wet in the ring a bit more consistently instead of what we have going on right now is her training at the Performance Center. And what better way of doing it by tagging up one of the best women ever in Bianca Belair?
Huh. So I'm about to give you, like, I guess the complete antithesis of everything you said, I guess. Because I see a double turn happening in the midst of all of this. Because I think as Bailey takes the title from Io as a heel, she'll then become face, but she's going to catch the locomotive that is Bianca Belair turning heel because playing by the rules ain't getting her nowhere. And I got these ladies meeting at the Royal Rumble for the women's title in reverse roles. And I am off top. I'm going to say I don't know how it's going to work. Heel Bianca versus face Bailey. But I think that it's just time for it just to see. It's the only turn that I think makes sense because I think these ladies are great no matter what side of the coin you put them on. I'm interested to see what the updated adult Bailey, face Bailey looks like as far as character-wise because you can't go back to the used car salesman inflatables and the ponytail. She can't go back to that. But why would she be a face in 2024? I'm curious to see that. The only reason why I am against putting Jade with Bianca right now is because basically the W's come to Jade Cargill again without really doing the work. And that might sound like hate, but hear me out, ladies and gentlemen. Jade was already a great big focal point of AEW, right? Whether she wrestled or not, that was kind of her thing. Being with Bianca Belair is only going to elevate her star. However, her star is so big, but she's still like celebrity guest level wrestling ability wise, and they want her full time. I don't think that she should learn at that, at the Bianca Belair level on the fly. I don't think she should learn on the fly in that instance. Not saying that she can't adapt, she can't adjust, she can't learn quick. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that I think that we forget how big Bianca Belair is and how even if you're hanging on to the woman that has the rocket strapped to her back, the expectation of your performance is now criticized at an even higher level. And Bianca Belair has been in the 1% of wrestlers, period, the last 3 years.
Right.
And that's the only reason why her and Jade, not yet.
Feel you. And again, not what I love to do. But I just don't want, I want Jade to be eased in and not thrown in.
Dang. I'll say either or, but I feel like.
As I was saying it, I was realizing like, yeah, I just walked to that one.
Right. Easing in, throwing in, what do you like? What do you like?
What do you like? You know what?
I'm here to do what you like.
Yeah, I just want her to be just eased into this because I don't want, it's the fans' expectations. It's them niggas. It ain't me. It's them niggas, man. That's these niggas is gonna see her and she's gonna be on a show and then all of a sudden she's gonna supposed to be the champion, you know, by that next Friday or that next Monday. It's like, nah, just put in a tag team with Bianca. Have them beat Chelsea and Piper. They have the championship. You see two black women holding the belt at the same time and shit. You know what I'm saying? And they get the run that Sasha and Naomi wanted before they became, whatever Sasha's name is. What's this shit again?
Trinity and Mercedes.
Mercedes Monet. Yeah. And Trinity, you know what I'm saying? You know, they wanted that role. They wanted to boost up the tag team belts. Well, let these two black women do it, and then we'll see what happens. All right, man, let's move on to Cody Rhodes versus Damian Priest. And I'm going to ask you this question. Is Damian Priest better off after this match or similar to Bad Bunny in some of the other matches? Did he win by losing?
In this case, no. In this case, no. And I want to be clear. When the Superstar of the Year Slammy come out, if they're doing the Slammies this year, because I think it is still annual, I believe that Superstar of the Year should go to Damian Priest. I know it's not going to happen that way because it's a popularity contest and all that. But the true superstar of the year to me is Damian Priest. All right? I'm just going to throw that out there. Losing the way he did to Cody Rhodes doesn't help him at all. Because now we expect a certain level of greatness from Damian Priest matches. Like we just expect it. I was nowhere near surprised, shocked. Like, to me, Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes was just consistency. That is what you get from Damian Priest every single week, every single night. any event. That is what you get. I would have loved to see him get the dub because Cody Rhodes is one of the few people in wrestling, period, that it don't matter if he win or lose. It literally doesn't matter. He's always going to be at the top of the card. He's going to be in that top five. Again, WCW top 10. Cody Rhodes is never below four. Right? So it don't matter what his win-loss record is because that's the great attraction that he is. I don't necessarily like the fact that, again, the Judgment Day breakdown, interference on that, Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. I get it. Long-form storytelling, right? But for the guys that are truly over, the guys that are truly the stars, we got to get some clean matches, bro. We got to get some clean, uncut W's and L's. No more chicanery, you know. No more run-ins. No more foreign objects. You know what I'm saying?
No more foreign objects, man?
There's always a, right, you know what I'm saying? Oh, got the foreign object. Rest in peace, Gorilla Monsoon. You know what I'm saying? We've seen so much of it, whether it's Bloodline matches, whether it's Judgment Day matches. And the thing is, these are the guys that are over. You know, now we're getting to the point where too many mid-card are trying to get over tactics are making it its way into the main event, into the top of the card, and I ain't feeling. You dig what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
It just feels like, again, it feels like everybody throwing oops.
Yeah.
And everybody's catching it, but it's only one rim. So my question to you is, would this work better? And mind you, full disclosure, I've been in the Survivor Series pocket.
Yeah.
Would this work better if we were back in the old format where we had the teams versus teams at Survivor Series?
Yeah, it honestly would. Because, you know, JD will get his shine to get, you know, squashed by Drew McIntyre in the first 90 seconds of the match, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, like that works. And it would be cool, like, and if we knew for a fact that Saudi Mania 5 and the breakdown of that was leading to the main event Survivor Series match, or one of the marquee matches for Survivor Series was the Judgment Day versus Raquel Rodriguez, Jay, Sammy, and Cody, and Drew, boom, you got me. I'm sold. I'm hooked. You know what I'm saying? But this ain't that. They're going to do the same thing on Monday. That's the other problem I got with this. Literally, they win matches the same damn way all the time. And like there are, I don't think we've seen a new finish in 4 months. I really don't think we have. feel free to fact check me. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think we've seen a new finish in 4 months, if not longer. And Judgment Day is better than that. They've worked themselves into a way better situation than that. Again, my pick for Slammy Superstar of the Year is Damian Priest. I don't think he benefited from this at all. He got his briefcase stolen and he lost in the same night. And for what?
Yeah. I agree. You start off with Sami Zayn stealing dude briefcase, and then he ends the night or his night with getting his ass beat by Cody Rhodes, which tells me that the cash in is around the corner.
Right.
Has got to be around the corner.
Shoot, at this point, the cash in and the breakup, because how all that happened? Yeah, Maria walking around looks like one of the Ramones for Halloween.
Yeah, you're right. She was. I was like, okay, What's up with this? You like Iggy Pop fam. But nah, man. Yeah, I don't think this look good for Damian Priest. But as we know, you know, right before you cash in, shit start looking huff, and then all of a sudden you win.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is I believe that, you know, this is my guarantee. I believe after Survivor Series, Damian Priest will be the World Heavyweight Champion.
Nice.
Or the switcheroo is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is this. Cody Rhodes have been, his promos towards Damian Priest have been basically, fam, you a bitch.
Yeah.
You supposed to be the lead. You got the belt, that tag team belts, and the money in the bank. Yeah. And you ain't the leader of the group.
Right.
Now, no disrespect to Ronda, no disrespect to Rhea Ripley. And if you overthinking it, Cody Rhodes is, you know, his promo could sound sexist.
True.
Because you could be like, damn, how come a woman can't be the lead of this group? You have been saying for quite some time that Rhea Ripley is the leader of Judgment Day. Hey, Cody, I'm like,
hey, I've been saying this since Edge left.
Yet Cody goes like, yo, why you ain't the leader? What's that I smell? I smell pussy. That's basically Cody. Here come Damien. Well, this story you talking about, that shit's dead. He's like, yeah, it's dead like your career, fam, because you follow around Shorty when you supposed to lead this group, man. Dusty would never, all right? Ric Flair would never, you know? That damn Randy Orton would never, you know? Twice, he would never, all right? Like, but you following behind Shorty, so you let me know. But I smell pussy. And he ends up beating him. While he loses his goddamn money in the bank.
Right.
So, my guarantee is Damian Priest, after Survivor Series, will either be the World Heavyweight Champion or he's going to win, but they're going to open up the briefcase and say, where's the contract? And you're going to see the old school green money in the bank briefcase that's going to have the contract in it. And Damian Priest is going to get his ass whooped by the newest member of Judgment Day. Drew McIntyre.
Wow. So you know, you don't see a world where they'll both be in this on the Judgment Day. You just see one replacing the other.
Yep, you got to replace one big man with another big man. And it's going to happen when they lose the tag team championships against whoever they lose it to. Maybe that Street Profits with the new theme song.
Yeah. I caught that. Bobby was like, hey, man, what's this hippity-hop jive you guys are coming down there to? Nah, we got to change that. Got to change that right on up.
Yeah, so it's definitely I just don't see Damian Priest in the group, and you got to replace the big man with the big man. You don't replace Damian Priest with J.D. McDonough.
No, for sure. They're going super Eurocentric. I'll say that. And
how you feel about that?
I mean, hey, look, they got the ones I mess with at JD. So you know what I'm saying? They got the ones I mess with at JD. It's cool. We'll let them rock. Hey, look, one of my guarantees I think in May was, hey, yo, Damian Priest leaving Judgment Day as soon as he won that title. So now it looks like we got Damian Priest leaving Judgment Day, no matter what happens, which I think is great. And shoot, it kind of answers the question to my guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should get into it right now. I guarantee that you faces better step it up, because the Miz is a face ain't going to work again. It's never going to work.
Never.
Never.
It never works.
the greatest part about The Miz is not liking him, unless you're us.
Yes.
I mean, two weeks in a row, I'm like, nah, these promos, there is something about Miz promos that don't hit when you're supposed to cheer for him.
It never does. Man, WWE, Triple H, Paul, Sean, whoever is working with Paul, never make The Miz a face. Y'all know how in our lifetime, I don't know what the hell happened in the 70s, but one wrestler you never turn heel is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Facts.
You never, like, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat turned into a bad guy's like, That's the same as Miz when you try to make him a face. Yeah. The Miz has one of the most beautiful women in the world as his wife. Some beautiful kids, a big-ass house, was a reality star, a two-time Grand Slam champion, and a face that you just want to smack the shit out of every time you see him. The Miz is a natural heel. Don't turn him face.
Yeah.
It never works. He looks like a bitch when he turns face. Yeah. And that's saying a lot because y'all make him a bitchy heel. Right. So imagine him as a bitchy face.
Right.
Never do it. Please don't. Yeah. Make the people hate him. You want to do something good with The Miz? Let him manage Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Don't put him as a face.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah, again, the promos don't hit when you're supposed to cheer for Miz and like him, man. I mean, look, he got Miz TV over being a heel. He got himself over being a heel. The Miz is the only person that literally debuted and people booed, and they've never stopped booing. Like, they've just never stopped booing. They've been booing since Hoorah! Like, they've been booing that long. And some of y'all don't even remember him doing that. I don't know what's going on here, but that whole Grayson Waller segment was a super mismatch. They definitely would work better on the same page than being put against each other. So yeah, man, to circle back to my other guarantee, hey, look, Damian Priest has already proven that as a face, he gonna get over. I think out of everybody in the Judgment Day, well, yeah, no, because a demon can never really be face. So Damian Priest is really the only true successful face in Judgment Day, if you want my personal opinion. I get everybody loves Finn Balor. Hey, man, but if you believe in any god, you know a demon ain't no face. Like, y'all know that. Like, you can't be no face and be a demon. Like, come on now. Satan was an angel, but he wasn't no demon. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. So, and when he was coming out, when Finn Balor was coming out with the fly-ass jackets, only and being cheered, Seth Rollins beat his ass, hurt him, took his title, and then he just got to get his ass beat every single week. That's what happened. Y'all was cheering while he was counting the ring lights. That's what was happening. Then he tried to turn it to the demon, and then Roman Reigns said, God on my side, botch happened in the ring. He lose that too. So Damian Priest kind of needs to lead the Judgment Day so there can be a successful face that the company can get behind so we can stop doing this failed project with The Miz, because it's failing before it even starts, because we love to hate The Miz.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to probably the most shocking way of winning for the night. If we would have did a prediction show, I would have picked Solo. Okay. I would have not picked Solo in the way that he did, and he won, though.
Okay.
Like, he would have been my pick to click, but to give John Cena about 10, 15
yeah,
thumbs to the neck, fam, like, whoa. Yeah.
Listen, my prediction was going to be John Cena based off the promo, and I was expecting it to lead to a bigger story for the Bloodline. I would have not picked Solo Sikoa winning by homicide. That wasn't my pick. You know what I mean? I had no idea that he was going to murder John Cena. And that was his coming out party as a superstar. You couldn't have told me that. You couldn't tell me that. Like, but on the real, I'm happy it happened. Because that is, look, beating John Cena by homicide supersedes winning the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, the new World Heavyweight Championship. It beats all of that. You beat John Cena by homicide. They call him the greatest of all time. And you murder him. So, I don't need a belt now, for real. That's not needing a belt ever. They highlighted that Solo just joined the main roster in September a year ago. So he's been there 14 months and he's murdered John Cena. He on some Obama shit. This is like when Obama killed Bin Laden.
I was expecting to win, but not like this. Like, he just can't. I'm like, yo, is the writer is the actor strike over? Literally.
Oh my god!
Like, literally, kept when I kept seeing him do it, I was like, yo, the writer strike is over with. So the actor strike is next. Maybe John Cena knows something that we don't know, but the way he getting the thumb to his neck, that's it. Like, John Cena's about to go promote another movie in 2 weeks because this actor strike is over. Man. Because it reminded me of Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna at King of the Ring 93.
Ooh, there we go.
And we didn't see Hulk Hogan in the WWE ring until years after that. You know, when he came back with the NWO. That's all I saw.
Yeah, hey, that's true. That's what happened.
That's all I saw. Like, maybe John Cena's going to AEW or something. Like, what is going on here? Yeah, this was the biggest win in Solo's career. And I won't jump out the body and say that for an annoyee. At his age, this was probably the biggest win of their life. But in the manner that he won, you got John Cena coming down, getting announced as the greatest of all time, and Solo was like, fuck all that.
Yeah.
Thumb to your throat.
Yeah.
Not a squash, but this was the closest to a squash that wasn't a squash. He really beat the shit out of John Cena. Yeah. So you gotta, somebody gotta let me know, does John Cena know that the actor strike is over soon?
That's a good point. What I think the homicide victory meant is that now Cena can really focus on that breaking that 2,000 plus day streak in the right pocket, which is now beating up on all the mid-carders and the introers that exist today. Because now, you know, you can go ahead and beat up on a Grayson Waller. You can go ahead and beat up the other dudes that run with Santos. And you can, you know what I'm saying? There's a couple matches just to, you know, make sure your skills are sharp. You know what I'm saying? But yo, get him out of the main event. Yeah, hey, he got stabbed up right up out of the main event picture. That's done for you, sir.
John Cena got shanked out of the main event. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I mean, shit. So, I think now, look, perfect time for John Cena to come in. About 7:45, because I'm on Central Time. 7:45. So, yo, man, that last match with Solo was pretty horrendous. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm back to get what I came for, and fucking Cameron Grimes comes out. He dusts him off.
So wait a minute. This nigga gonna beat up half of the NXT roster. So basically what you're telling me is that John Cena is going to go on a winning streak that's going to lead to him getting his lick back against Solo at WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because now, hey, look, Roman didn't beat you and Solo didn't beat you. You can't be talking about how you in the main event or nothing. Like, no, you just lost by homicide. You got dominated, then you got murdered. You can't come back now. You got to beat somebody.
Hell, you basically saying to me that John Cena can't even get the mic. Like, this got to be pre-taped.
He can get the mic, but he better go beat Baron Corbin in NXT or something first. You better smack up Wesley, Dragon Lee. You better hit the Mustache Mountain. Nick. You better get one of them out of here.
Tyler Bate, Nick.
Yeah, go get Ridge Holland. Go, gang. SmackDown opening match: Ridge Holland versus John Cena. Go ahead and put Ridge down, and then we'll talk. Then put Butch down next week. That's what you do, man. Ain't no more of this. You ain't on that 8:26. You ain't on at that time no more. You on at 7.
Yeah. Hey, I want to move past the Rhea Ripley match, not because it was women wrestlers, but because Rhea Ripley is just so fucking dominant.
Yeah, she's great.
Rhea Ripley is... I don't give a shit about Roman Reigns and his 4 years of dominance. Rhea Ripley is the most dominant champion in the WWE right now. I think she's slightly ahead of Gunther. And she's ahead of Roman Reigns. But Rhea Ripley, if there was ever a match that I was like, so the fuck what, is that match. Yeah. Because it was nowhere in hell I thought Rhea Ripley was going to lose that match.
Yeah.
To who? Zoe Stark?
Yeah, not at all. Great showing by her, but no.
Yeah, great showing, but Rhea Ripley is the queen. She's the leader of Judgment Day. And Cody Rhodes, you're sexist.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Shayna, change your ring gear to your Saudi Mania gear.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It might help your aesthetic.
And I want to go ahead and get to the first match of the night. Which was Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Now, what's wild about this is that Drew McIntyre reportedly is still not signed the contract extension. So, you know, there's rumors that, you know, by 2024, we won't be seeing Drew McIntyre. We'll be seeing Drew Galloway somewhere else in the world of wrestling. Huh. But great match nonetheless.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins could have a great match with a broomstick. You know what I'm saying? But I guess my biggest question is what's next for Seth Rollins? Drew McIntyre loses. Could Drew McIntyre really fully turn heel and beat the shit out of Seth freaking Rollins tonight? Which means that Sami Zayn will come down there with the briefcase and try to cash in with the money in the bank. Could that be something that happens? Because I do see Drew McIntyre whooping Seth Rollins' ass tonight.
You know what? Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
So. I'm not sure with Drew McIntyre because, you know, this storyline, it's kind of weak. It's kind of weak for somebody of his size. Pause. It's like, man, you can't be crying about people not seeing you win after you won the Royal Rumble and beat Brock Lesnar. You're one of the only people in life to do that. Like, let's talk about other stats. Fuck title reigns for a minute. How many people y'all know in wrestling ever to win the Royal Rumble and beat Brock Lesnar in the same year? So that's why I don't want to hear this bullshit he's talking about. Some y'all nobody ever seen me win a title. And oh, the bloodline.
Like, nigga, it was a pandemic. We saw you, fam.
Yeah, right. It's like, fam.
We saw it.
Like, yo, you gotta relax. I'm always pro heel Drew McIntyre.
Yes.
So if we get closer to that, sign me up. I'm with it. I'm here for it.
Because
heel Drew McIntyre don't need nobody. Matter of fact, the more people around, that hurts him. That gets in his way. When heel Drew McIntyre is by himself, like on some hitchhiker shit, he lit.
I got to edit to my guarantee.
Okay, let's do it.
What if Sami Zayn thinks he has the money in the bank? Damian Priest is mad that Sami Zayn has the money in the bank. Sami Zayn tries to cash in, and he finds out that he don't have the money in the bank. Then Drew turns and looks like, what the fuck? And then Drew McIntyre is given the money in the bank by Rhea Ripley as an incentive to join the motherfucking Judgment Day. Yo, and both Sami Zayn and Damian Priest are looking like, what the fuck?
Yo, I was south of heaven her so fast, but I'm like, what? You just like, yo, they would flag that episode. I tell you that. they can't even upload that content that I would be on the WWE exclusive. But hey, I love a plot twist though.
Hey, man. That's all up. Hey, what if it, since it seems like she's recruiting him, that's the recruitment pitch. Hey, man, I got this money in the bank. Use it.
She do say it is the Judgment Days. It never really be like, yo, this is your money in the bank. And she is a controller when they get cashed in. And you're not really wrong. That's what's so crazy. Hey, yo, hey, and if Damian stay after that, everything Cody told you is the truth, then, bro.
Hey, man, like, look, when they gave him the blue joint that says, send your money in the bank, I've been wondering, is the contract really in the safe?
Right.
And I'm telling you, hey, Drew, you trying to slide over? This is what we going to do. I'm going to sick Damian down there to jump Seth. Sammy going to catch it too. You going to come down there. You going to whoop everybody ass. And we going to give you the briefcase that got the real contract in it. And you become the world champion.
And that'd be so wild.
And that'd be the best Bang Be Knowing moment in the history of wrestling. Yeah. Bang Be Knowing moments.
Yeah, I can't front. That's number one. If that happened, that's number one. That's number one.
That one would be lit. Because it's like, yo, what's, like, honestly, like, let's think about it. Let's look at the Raw roster. Who's the next person for Seth Rollins?
Well, it's supposed to be Sami Zayn. And not because he holds the contract. It's who it should be is Jey Uso or Sami Zayn. That should be next. Especially since nobody's going after the Intercontinental title. So it's only right that they go after the world title. But we don't, that's not the matchup we need. We don't need Seth versus Jay or Seth versus Sammy. That's too many heels. I mean, too many faces fighting each other. Yeah. Nah.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah. All right, that's been your Crown Jewel, a.k.a. Saudi Mania 5 results. Survivor Series is going to be out here in Chicago. Yeah. And before we get out of here, man, it's been rumors, right? It's been rumors that still consist of CM Punk and the WWE, yeah. All right? Corey Graves, they asked him, would he welcome CM Punk back? And this is what he said on the Kurt Angle show. He said, listen, Punk was always great to me when I was coming up. We were really, 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 really close. Remember I told the story at the beginning of the show about how I missed my son being born? Punk was in Pittsburgh at the time and actually was the first guy who held my son after he was born. Like, whoa. We were tight. Fast forward a few years later, I don't really know what happened. We sort of fell out for one reason or another. I said some disparaging things in a very public, unprofessional manner. We haven't spoke since prior to then. But at the end of the day, rather than sitting here and wasting everybody's time, I'm a professional. I am too old to hold grudges. I feel like whatever has happened is water under the bridge. I got a whole different life. I'm in a very different place in my life than I was back then when all that stuff went down. If it is right for business, who am I to say no? I am a pro at the end of the day. I would happily do whatever is needed. I would shake the man's hand and move on to see what life holds. Now, that right there is the first sign of, hey, man, if it's time to do business, it's time to do business. Yeah. But then it was also a rumor that was coming out saying that, you know, there was possibly a meeting with the board members and Punk. Now, a high-ranking corporate member source told Ringside News that there was no call with Punk and board members. We were told that that was the fakest news in the world of fake news. However, I'm sorry. It just feels like something is smelly here. And I won't believe, put like this. I'm not saying I believe CM Punk gonna come back.
Okay.
I don't. What I am saying, though, is that I'm not gonna nip it in the bud until Michael Cole closed the show at Survivor Series.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Again, the new management, I think, and you spoke to this a couple of times, you know, TKO is going to do business before they do wrestling. You know, wrestling is a very interesting just world because even with the way Vince ran it, you know, I think that in totality, between all the documentaries that we have seen, I think we can attest to at least three people doing something way worse to Vince McMahon than CM Punk ever did, and they Hall of Famers now. You know what I mean? Again, it's still never say never, but at the same time, I'm just going to be real. I don't see the in-ring value of CM Punk 2023 into 2024 being that high. Especially not with the talent that they already have. This is not ageism because I think CM Punk and I are the same age. He just doesn't look that good. Like, in the ring, physically, like his eyes, like, I don't... There isn't a pipe bomb that he can drop that's going to work in the WWE right now.
Okay.
It just ain't. You know, you know what? Just like it wasn't for Bret Hart, when he came back in, what was that, 06? But the thing is, though, they let Bret come out, say what he had to say about Vince and the company, and then Shawn Michaels was able to come out there, stand his face. They have a conversation and a handshake. Paul Levesque is not doing that, man. Yeah. He's not doing that. Not to CM Punk. Not to CM Punk at all. Because in a roundabout way, even if Triple H was wrong about Edge and about Jericho, he was high key right about CM Punk.
Yeah.
Like, he was high key right on show and off the show. Because did CM Punk become a bigger star somewhere else? Did he really hold the title for a company and make it something more relevant or rivaling the WWE? The answer is no. Because he could have went the Nick Aldis route. He could have went the AJ Styles route. There's so many other things that he did, he could have done, that he just didn't do if it was really all about wrestling. You know, he did. Where's his New Japan run in 2014 to 2016? Mm. You know, he didn't even do what Cody did. Like, so that, and that's the thing. He show up casually to these indie spots, working with inferior talent, and now we're just gonna run back to the E like, yo, it's lit. Like, nah, fam. We looking at Will Ospreay now. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like,
who is rumored to have started conversations.
You know what I'm saying? So
with the WWE.
You know what I'm saying? So I just, and again, it's no disrespect. You know what I'm saying? I mean, CM Punk from Illinois. I'm not sure anybody from, well, just about anybody from Illinois. I don't want to open that up to that umbrella too wide. You know what I'm saying? That's too big of a net. But, yeah, I got to see the value for myself. Like, where? Because it's not in ring with what we got right now. Personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm just not going to rule it out until Michael Cole be like, thank you for joining us at the Survivor Series out here in Chicago. And then the Peacock sign comes on at the end. So yeah. The show is now over. I'm not stupid. Wrestling, right. WWE. Like, Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan left on bad terms.
Right.
And that motherfucker main event at WrestleMania.
Right.
And this ain't Vince McMahon. Like I told you before we started, if this was just solely Vince McMahon, nah, we straight. But this is TKO. This is Endeavor. Okay. Reportedly, allegedly, Endeavor's looking at this deal now. Like, I don't know if we should have did this shit. I'm talking about ad rates and all of that shit. You know, yeah. Ad rates for wrestling has always a bit different. That's why you don't see, like, United Airlines ads on wrestling. You see right. Slim Jim, nigga. Right. Like, you go to who your demo is. And the demo right. is white men, 18 to 34. Throw yeah. some video games in there, some snacks.
Right.
Snickers. Women. Right. Yeah. Women. You yeah. know, women, scantily clad women. And all of those things. And those same people love CM Punk.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? The other thing about why I think Vince wouldn't do it, because he don't have the great glamorous story that's behind the scenes. Like, we don't really need the WWE Confidential on CM Punk versus Vince McMahon. We don't need it. It's like, yo, yeah, I found you on your wedding. What? And what? Like, yeah, you already told Matt Cardova what happened. So, fuck both of y'all. Like, it don't matter. Like, yo, you were never Bret Hart.
Right.
You were never the Hulkster, bro. Like, I get it. We saw a lot of Best in the World t-shirts, but we didn't really move more of those than Hustle's Loyalty and Respect. So, it just is what it is. It's like, you know, it's the very curious case about CM Punk is that he probably is that one superstar over the last 20 years that really did benefit from the system more than the system benefited from him. You know what I'm saying? Like obviously, like Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, John Cena, like they benefit from the system. But the system also benefits from them because you can put them on the Today Show. You can put them on the Tonight Show. You can put them in movies. You can put them in sitcoms. You know what I'm saying? Like all of that. Like even Vader was on Boy Meets World. You dig what I'm saying? Like, so like when you think about it, like what was the thing that CM Punk did that brought more eyes to the WWE because he was the champ? And all we got is matches. That's all we got. And then he didn't like, it ain't like he quit and then he was like on Hangover 3. You know what I mean? Like he didn't do like anything else. Like he just wrestled, which no disrespect to that. If that's what you want to do is you wrestle, but that's not even what the WWE is built on. Like we're raising superstars here. We're grooming superstars. So if you're not even trying to be a superstar, then what are you even here for? And hey, in Chicago, if those yeah chants are louder and longer than the CM Punk, then they really don't need you because that man ain't even got a title.
So, and I know that you have an affinity for, you know, one of these joints, who was back in Nashville at also the other day. Would you rather see CM Punk in like a TNA, NWA type situation? Or do this nigga need to find a regular job?
I definitely would like to see him in TNA or NWA because go wrestle somewhere else that's already established and see where you measure up at. Because, hey, look, I still got you hired in EC3. But I don't think you fucking with Thrill Billy. I don't think you fucking with Kerry Morton. You dig what I'm saying? Hey, I don't think you messing with Sexy Jesus, Chris Masters. Well, Chris Masterpiece. You know what I'm saying? There's some people over there. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Chris Adonis, yes. Look, in this world, Matt Cardona might be over you. Matt might be over you here. Zack Ryder may not have been bigger than CM Punk, but in the WWE, but Matt might be over CM Punk in the NWA. And those are the real questions that need to be answered. I like, if CM Punk is as great as he says he is, why not prove it? Why not prove it everywhere we want to see it? You know what I'm saying? New Japan, NWA, TNA. Like, he didn't go none of them places in 10 years. He didn't go none of them places. That says a lot to me.
Well, we're going to see what happens, but things are starting to get very interesting. Time to put all of these things in place, and especially with some of the things that we talked about on today's show, where it seems like a whole bunch of storylines being intertwined and other people's storylines right now. WWE, just for one night, bring back the old format. Bring it back. You know what I'm saying? Have, you know, the Warriors versus the Heenan family again. You know what I'm saying? Let's have the Hawker Maniacs versus the Million Dollar Team again. You know what I'm saying? Or the Mega Maniacs. Shit like that versus, you know, the Twin Towers team or something. Let's bring that back, man. Let's bring back the interview. You know what I'm saying? With all of the guys in front of the Survivor Series logo. And they shaking hands. Like, yeah, we about to beat this nigga ass. And Gene Oakland like, hey. So, you know, Honky Tonk Man, what's up with you and your team? Well, you know something, Mean Gene? Like, bring that back, man.
Yeah. Straight up. That. You know what I'm saying?
Need that back, man. Retro was in.
Yeah. Straight up. Because that's what made Survivor Series Survivor Series. That's what made it my favorite pay-per-view. The fact that you could get that, you know, the Dream Team led by Dusty Rhodes versus the Perfect Team, you know what I mean, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's what's needed. Again, the only Raw versus SmackDown match I want to see this year, and I'm going on record, is Team Aldis versus Team Pierce, with them being the team captain and picking their four guys. I don't want them at ringside. I want them in the ring. That's the only – is that – I want Team Aldis versus Team Pierce with the co-captain being Jimmy and Jay. And then I want y'all to figure out the teams from there. If we're not doing that for this year's Survivor Series, the Survivor Series is a bust, and I'm calling it right now without saying nothing else on the card. Period.
Hey, well, we gave y'all our guaranteed tease, and yeah. Now it's time for us to get ready for Raw. So,
yeah, man.
End of something, man.
Oh, man, yes, we thank you. We thank you for tuning in to the show this week. I'm sorry for our tardiness, but my new schedule is just still weeding itself out, man. We're going to get back consistent weekly for you and give y'all what y'all been waiting for, which is high-quality wrestling content from two of the guys that talk like nobody else in the world, man. Hey, listen, even through it all, your likes, your comments, your shares, your questions, rumor and innuendo, engagement in general, all of you are what make the First Black Champ community something special. And for that, we sincerely and humbly thank you. And remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast, PIC. VPDOC, and we are OUT. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
Okay.
You got to do it like, you know, like a 90s like radio freestyle.
Yeah, you barred it up right there.